Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips.
Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright.
You have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress.
Concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the path of the destroyer.
Uphold my steps in your path, that my footsteps may not slip.
I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me, and hear my speech.
Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings.
From the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me.
They have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly.
They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes, crouching down to the earth.
As a lion eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion, lurking in secret places.
Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked with your sword.
With your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babies.
As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Amen. Okay, here in Psalm 17, as we go through these Psalms, just to remember, just to bring back to our mind the purpose of these meditations, is that we would know more fully what God has given to the church to sing for His praise. That as we sing these Psalms, we'll know that we'll think about them from the perspective of God and what is it that we're singing. Here we have what's titled A Prayer of David, and which has a superscription in the New King James, Prayer with Confidence in a Final Salvation. But of course, it's more than that. It's more than a prayer of David. It's a prayer by David, certainly, but more than that. It's a prayer with confidence in final salvation, but not just that. One of the common complaints against theology or modern teachings of the Christianity is that we're looking for a pie in the sky by and by, and overlooking things of this earth. This psalm here is not just a prayer with confidence in a final salvation, although it is that, but it's prayer with confidence in a current situation or salvation. It is prayer with confidence in a solution by God here and now as well as for a final salvation. The life on earth is not nothing. It's not something to just ignore that would go away, that isn't important. Yes, we need to take a long-term view. Yes, we need to have a mind in eternity. But we are Christians today, and God is Lord today. It begins, hear a just cause, O Jehovah, attend to my cry. It's not just a calm prayer, but it's a cry to God. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright. You have tested my heart. You have visited me. You have tried me. Here we have a prayer from one who is claiming sinlessness, that he has a right to God's salvation. One that has a right to God coming to save him from what's going on in his life. How can David do this? When David in his life was far from sinless. When David in his life needed a Savior. The point, of course, is that as we are saved in Christ, and again, remember the superscription, the final salvation, we are more than just saved in Christ. We are made pure before God in Christ. So that even here in this life, this is an important point, Christian, pay attention. Here in this life, we have a right in Jesus to call upon God. We have a right in Jesus to call the Father to His covenant. To, in the covenant, pray confidently. To call upon the covenant on our behalf. to say these things, even though we are not sinless, because we don't come before the Father in ourselves, but in Christ. That as we come before the Father in Christ, we have the right to say, because of the sinlessness that you see me in, save me from the wicked one. Uphold my steps that in your path that my footsteps may not slip. Again, in Christ, we have the right to pray for salvation, not just from our past sin, but from protection from sinning in the future. Starting in verse 6, we see, I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Again, this is not only a salvation from hell. And when we limit God's grace to that, we have a poor salvation. We have a poor faith. There's nothing in the Bible, nothing in God's Word that tells us that Christ's salvation is only from hellfire, is only from punishment. When we think of the salvation of Christ, the grace of God is saving us from, we're missing the biggest part. Christ has saved us too. Christ has rescued us to a life with God, to the protection and love of the Father, to communion with the Spirit. So often we think of being saved from. Here we see that in this life, in this world, the Christian can have confidence that the Father will save those who call upon Him. The Christian can have confidence that the Father will be with the one who trusts in Him. That His marvelous loving kindness or mercy not only will be shown in spiritual matters, but in physical matters by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you, from not from hell, but from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Again, let me bring to your attention, this is not speaking of eternal matters. Because the evil ones, when we're dead, will be nowhere that they can harm us. There will be no need for God to save us from wicked ones in heaven. This is a prayer, a confident prayer, a teaching for us to pray for God to deliver us from wicked ones here on earth who would harm us, who would oppress us, who would put us down, who would hurt us. Verses 10 through 12, look at these wicked ones. They have closed up their fat hearts, or they have enclosed their hearts in fat. Now, in today's modern America, the thought of being wrapped up in fat is a disgusting thought. But I can remember back when a fat piece of meat was the good stuff, and I'm only 44. When chicken skin was the best part of the chicken, and I can hardly bear to even eat it now because of the teachings of what the fat is bad for us. But stop and think for a moment of a culture, of a time, of a place where there isn't any butter, margarine, Crisco, where we don't have fat things, where we get by on, if we have any meat at all, just scant portions of it, but mostly we're dealing with vegetable matters and that sort of thing to eat. That to have a nice, rich, fat, juicy piece of meat was a special thing, was a good thing. Where a fat person wasn't someone that we laugh at, but a fat person is somebody that obviously is rich, is protected, doesn't have to scramble for survival. It's someone to look up to because they have obviously managed to achieve certain things. These are people now, let's keep that in mind and look back at this. They have closed up their hearts in fat, or they have closed up their fat hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. These are people who look upon their own achievements. Look at the rich things I have in this earth. I don't need God. With their mouths they speak proudly. They've surrounded us in their steps. We can do what we want. We have what we want. We've gotten what we need. We don't need God. That's the sort of person they're talking about. And now that they have set themselves in their positions, they try to drag down the people of God. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth as a lion is eager to tear his prey and like a young lion lurking in secret places. They rest in their own achievements and will not have us rest in God. They seek to destroy us because we rest in God. And because of that, we can rest in God to save us from them. Arise, O Jehovah, confront him, cast him down, deliver my life from the wicked with your sword. Again, speaking of worldly matters, the protection of God in our lives. With your hand, protect us from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life. And that again is hearkening back to the idea of enclosing their hearts in fat, that their portion is in this life. Save us from men whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possessions for their babes. They're not interested in salvation or in any kind of an inheritance with Jehovah. But their inheritance on this earth is the only thing they're looking for. They are not interested in a continuation of the covenant, but only in their own line. Here we have, by the way, a teaching from Scripture that God does give good things to the wicked. So those of you who have ever tossed this question about or worried about the question of common grace or not, here we see that God does give those wicked ones good things in this life for their own condemnation, so that people can look and say, not only did you reject God in yourselves, but even when he gave you good things, you weren't grateful. So their judgment, their condemnation is increased, but yet they have received good things. And then they leave the rest of their good things, not for the grace, not for the glory of God, not for the continuance of the kingdom, but for their babes and theirs alone. But the godly one says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied with riches. Now, I shall be satisfied with fat. Now, and not with babes either. But when I awaken in your likeness, or when I wake and see your face. Now think about that. We are told to rest in God in this earth, to pray for his salvation in worldly matters as well as spiritual matters, to work for God, to trust in God, to live for God, to rely on God, but not for those things alone, because those are merely gifts from a father to his children. Those are not the ends. Those are not the things that we look for. But those are mere signs. Seals, even, if you will, of God's love for his people, for his children. And what is the satisfaction, the beauty, the great thing that we live for? That I will see your face, O God, in righteousness. There's a lot in that one phrase. I will see his face. But I will see his face in righteousness. Not in fear, not as a slave, not only even as a son, but in an atmosphere, in a context, in an overwhelming life of righteousness. I will see God's face. And all the things I've gotten in this life will be as nothing, because satisfaction, real satisfaction, a bone-deep satisfaction when I awake in your presence, in your likeness, O God. That's our end. That's what we're moving toward. But in the hand, under the wings of God, every step of the way. So let's not forget, let's not minimize the glory and grace of God. He is here for his people all the time. Let's remember to pray. Remember to give him glory in asking for help. And as we sing this, let's try to remember what we've just heard. Sing it from the heart, Psalm 17C.